Fuck it, we're going live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to DPIY. Sorry, I'm so flustered. We were just recording, and I got a phone call right in the middle of it, and we record this shit on my phone. So we're starting all over again. This is take two, when we don't usually do takes, but this is DPIY, the podcast where DIY is not what we're good at, but it is how we make our podcast. I'm Jake, and with me is my friend, Mr. Verano.
Hey, how's it going? Yes, take two. This is live, just like life. I don't know where I was going with that train of thought. I completely lost where I was at.
Just like sports.
Right now. Yeah, sports. Oh, no, we don't do sports, but I'm so glad the World Cup is in like 3 months. So needed.
No. I couldn't care less about real sports.
I know you don't. It's a
there's
great,
too much.
You know.
No, I used to, but I found that when I gave too much of a shit about what people could do with a ball, I turned into an asshole to people around me. And I'm already enough of an asshole to people around me, so I didn't need to be more of one. And that's what sports did to me. So now I watch fake sports. Well, but it's only fake in the sense that it's a narrative. Those guys fucked themselves up hardcore.
Yes, they do. I went through that training. It was awesome. But yeah, you went sore as hell.
I've been loving watching AEW and hearing Jim Ross say sarcastically, "Oh, but they know how to fall."
And you think they do, and some do not whatsoever.
Well, and like, you know, they're falling on things that still hurt. They're just doing it for the show, for your, like, they're, I think the best way to put it is they're stuntmen actors, those professional wrestlers. They're stuntmen actors who go live and, you know, they put on a narrative show, but they do it in a way that most actors would walk off set if they were treated that way. You know,
Yeah.
they put their bodies through hell for our entertainment, and the least we can do is, you know, appreciate what they do for what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this episode is more about a little bit of news towards everything that's comic book related.
Yeah, there's so much, you know, we're not rich, so we don't go to the cons. So it's not like we have news from San Diego, because, you know, that's what all the podcasts I was listening to was reporting on. It was like, oh, yeah, you guys can go to that because you're professionals. And no, but there's been a lot of shit that's happened since the big con where they announce everything related to their slates and whatnot. That is just interesting to talk about. You know, there's cancellations both in movies and TV. There's stuff that we can definitely virtue signal about, and we will probably, we'll probably go hard at the virtue signaling at some point in this episode. And there's some great shows that just came out that we want to talk about. And we didn't feel like waiting until we could get a full episode written. So we just decided to hop on and talk about all this stuff.
Yep, and starting on that, we're, at least for me, because I actually watched all of it.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
I know. Yeah, I mean, the last episode was good. Like, you pretty much know the story anyway, because you read it. I haven't. But
yeah.
No, Sandman is great. I like how it ties in with the Greek mythology, and just every sibling of his has to do with the letter D. So I was like, ah, cool.
And you haven't even met all of them. Like, that's it's so great because they've built the world. They've shown a lot of the stuff that's really accurate to the way they do it in the comic. To an extent, you know, I'm not. You mentioned I read them, but it's been so long since I've read any of them that, like, I've really enjoyed watching it and trying to remember, wait, who does what, and did they change that? And they've even just, like, they gender swapped Constantine, they gender swapped Lucifer, and I think that was mainly to establish that this is going to be its own separate thing. But it's like you said, it's been really cool to watch. It's been really fun to watch. It's very visually brilliant.
No, I think so. It's one of those very unique shows, and I appreciated it a coworker of mine was like, I couldn't get into it. I was like, you really got to be open-minded about like a sci-fi show that really just imagery-wise like expands really well. I appreciated like the whole show. Yeah.
And if that's your complaint, you really don't understand like the creator, Neil Gaiman. You know, he the other big thing that I can think of that spawned sort of a lot of media, and there's a lot of them. I know I'm leaving out a whole bunch of shit that he did, but one of my favorites is American Gods. You know, and that's a great one too, where it's, but you got to be willing to think out there in terms of how you're visualizing things.
Yeah, and I wanted to watch that one because it looked cool. I didn't get a. I heard about it and it seemed interesting, but I never got to watch it.
Yeah. Well, I wholeheartedly advocate the book. I was joking around with Verano before we started recording. It was one of the rare times where I read the book and had to visualize in my mind without the pictures, because American Gods has come out as a graphic novel, as a full-on novel, and as a TV show, and I read the book, and it was excellent. So I wholeheartedly endorse that one, too, in addition to The Sandman.
You know, Sandman, I was actually able to read one issue of the graphic, and I was really pulled in by it. I was like, oh, cool. So when I saw it on Netflix, I was like, oh, I hope this is like the one book I read. It kind of is.
Well, and that's the thing, is the comic's a real winding road, and I fully expected the Netflix show to be one too, but it's been really fun. I honestly don't know if I'm going to start reading it anytime soon, because what I've really enjoyed about the show is not remembering much about the strict narrative of the comic, because it's been like a few years, and sort of watching it for its own thing instead of what I usually do, which is, this is how they've changed everything. So that's been nice.
Yeah. No, I'd definitely say if you want to watch a show that's unique and does one way or the other go into comic book universe, it's in its own universe, but it does tie in slightly with DC, which is pretty unique.
Yeah, so it is Warner Brothers. You will see DC stuff in the background. Like, I remember one scene, one of the kids is watching a cartoon, and it's got Static Shock and Superman visually displayed just right there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know which comic book company made this one.
Yeah. And,
but that's the thing, is like, we were also talking about how jumping outside of it and going to the production companies, we were talking about some of the moves that Warner Brothers has been making recently. Particularly the one related to the Batman movie, or the Batgirl, fuck Batman. Batman, they announced a number two, which is not surprising at all considering number one, but I meant the Batgirl movie. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I heard that they were in production of it and then it just got canceled. So it was a show already, and I watched the three seasons. It was decent.
Yeah, those three seasons are different. That's Batwoman. That's Kate Kane.
Oh, right. Batgirl.
Batgirl's Barbara Gordon.
Yeah. It should be good because she ends up becoming Oracle. And her story's lengthy.
I don't know if they were going to use that one, though.
I didn't. I know she does at some point.
Because I think they're building to more Justice League type levels. But I think that... I have my own conspiracy theory. I got no proof for this one, but I think what they did was they figured they could cancel Batgirl, take the backlash from the Batgirl cancellation, and then by the time they actually canceled the Flash, which is what I think they're moving to, I don't think we're going to see that Flash movie. You know, I think the big news, one of the biggest pieces of news out of the Batgirl and Flash movies was that Michael Keaton's Batman was going to come in and be a part of both. And I think that that's just a string that ties them together to prove that they're tied together. But I think what happened was they canceled Batgirl, took the backlash on that, so that when they cancel the Flash because of Ezra Miller's legal troubles and his inability to keep himself out of trouble.
Yeah.
I think that when they finally canceled the Flash, you know, the people who are like, oh my God, he's so dysfunctional, they need to get rid of him, are gonna drown out the people who are like, but I wanted to see the movie, like the, you know, Snyder Cut crowd will get drowned out by the shut the fuck up Ezra Miller's toxic crowd. I think that's what the reason. I think they sort of canceled Batgirl to build. And you know, they probably didn't. They probably had so many more complex conversations. There's probably like 10 reasons why they canceled it, and that might be like one side thought, but I think that does play into it a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Did you hear that? I think She-Hulk is finally on Disney Plus.
Has it started? You know, I'm too bad about predicting, so I wait until I can binge watch. I'm looking forward to She-Hulk though.
I thought there was an article that was saying, I think it's either on now or I haven't had it, or it's going to start like a couple weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. I really, really enjoyed Ms. Marvel. When I finally was able to sit down and watch it all the way through, I thought that was a really fun one. I was so after everything about that mutant tease being ruined by announcements on like the dirt sheets I read. I was so pissed when it was just one fucking word and then a sound clip. Did you catch that?
I didn't, but I watched all of Ms. Marvel, and I think I was telling you, I was like, you really gotta watch it soon if you can. And then it's good. I liked it. I don't know much on the character, but I do like it so much.
Oh, I knew. See, that's another thing where, like, I was going to mention later on, but like Ms. Marvel was another one where her character is not really for me as a target audience, but no. I've always enjoyed her character.
Yeah.
You know, and so she's always been that enamored with superheroes kind of relatable thing that I could get behind. Similar to like Gwenpool, but a little less, a little more PG, a little less R or PG-13 rated, you know? And, no, but in one of the final episodes, one of her best friends tells her, he was testing her blood against her family's. And it was like, I think the reason you have powers is you're kind of, I don't know, mutated. And then it goes, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. And it was just, because all the dirt sheets were like, this is how they bring in X-Men. This is how they bring in mutants. And it was like, that wasn't them bringing in mutants. That was them teasing us, you assholes.
It was a good tease because it got you also worked up.
I know. It got me so worked up. It was a good tease. That's why I'm like, that's why I was kind of pissed, because I was like, they got me. They did it. They got me. Man.
Did you see the new Black Panther trailer?
Yeah, I'm interested. Here's what I've been asking everybody about that Black Panther trailer, because recently, to make sure that people were still interested, I think a lot of shit's been getting leaked. So there was a leaked synopsis for Black Panther that mentioned Latveria playing with things behind the scenes. So my question to you is, do they introduce Doom, or just the concept or the political concept of Latveria in this Black Panther movie?
I want to say it could be a hidden scene at the end, like an extra credit one. But right. In the movie itself, I think it'll be the concept, because, I mean, they do introduce Namor and he can easily be swayed. So I can easily see that link then.
So the synopsis that I read, and spoilers if you don't like hearing about leaked things, but I figure if you're actually listening to us, this is the kind of shit you listen to us for, not for our charming personalities, because I don't have that.
Whoa. Charming personality. They do care about that. They don't need three people, but they care.
So what I heard was the storyline revolves around, there's some, I can't remember what it is, but there's some kind of massive vibranium that's in the ocean, and Wakanda is making claim to it because it's vibranium and it's from their, you know, vibranium stores in their mountain. And Atlantis is making claim to it because it's in their oceans. And or I don't think it's Atlantis. I think I've read something where they're leaning in an Aztec sort of direction so that it doesn't get confused with DC's Aquaman stuff.
I mean,
Which
that's
makes
fair.
sense.
The way they had Namor dressed up, he did look more Mexican.
He looks badass.
I'm like, yo, this is awesome.
I but so you know, there's vibranium in the ocean, and so that's the original conflict. And so they're like, they don't just fight in terms of war, they also take it political, put it to the UN or whatever the World Council is. And so that's where I think Latveria comes in, because Latveria is manipulating things behind the scenes to push them to war, to get them distracted, because Doom wants the vibranium.
Of course, you always want to take the easy way, and it's easier to piss others off so you can just kind of do the sly shit and just rob it himself.
Yeah. And because, you know, having a suit made of vibranium is the strongest metal on Earth in that fictional universe. So, you know, really help him out a lot. But so just because I know it's what people are really interested in when it comes to this movie. So when it comes to who is the Black Panther, what I read was that the plan is for Shuri to have technologically developed her own version of the heart-shaped herb that was destroyed in the first Black Panther. So she develops a kind of it, and it's in her grief. So her brother passed away, and she's trying to connect with him in the realm where, like, he was able to connect to his father, you know, the land of the ancients. So she goes there, but instead of connecting with her brother, it's Killmonger. So I like the rumor is we're gonna get a Michael B. Jordan cameo, which would be fucking cool. And then, but Shuri's going to be the Black Panther. We're also going to get Riri Williams as Ironheart. And yeah, just a lot of stuff. It looks pretty cool. But I really hope, like you're saying, like we see Doom in the sense of like maybe an after credits thing. Because I think that'd be cool. And plus, you know, we know it's building to that. And it'd just be good to see him.
No, to be able to see whatever they do for Doom and Michael B. Jordan would be interesting. Because, yeah, he was the Panther for a minute, and it can just redefine that, you know, she's doing what she can to do it right or wrong. So it can justify her as a, yeah, the strong new Black Panther taking the
Yeah.
mantle.
So that'd be cool. Or maybe it will be. Maybe that synopsis was nothing like what it's actually going to turn out like, and I'm just talking to my ass. One way or the other, we'll see something.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued for it. I'm excited. Did you
See
see the
what?
new Lightyear movie?
The new what?
The new Buzz Lightyear movie?
Yeah, I just watched that with the kids the other day.
I liked it. I saw it last night. I was like, "Hobby, this is actually nice."
It was fun. You know, they
I like his backstory was explained a bit more thoroughly. So like. It explains why he's so direct and like over the top and doing his actual duty. Like, this is funny.
it's hard to talk about because I'm prone to spoilers, and when I'm talking about a synopsis, that's one thing, but this movie, it's fun to watch. I like how it's connected to Toy Story in the sense that they basically tell you right in the beginning, this is the movie that Andy watched that made him want to have a Buzz Lightyear toy. You know, so everything he has as a toy shows up, and it's a pretty interesting arc. He could have had everything he wanted, and then he realized he wanted something different. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
No, it's great. I mean, I want to spoil it.
I know, isn't that fun? It's so fun to spoil, but I'm trying to be better. It's a
Well,
mid-year resolution.
you are, I'm not. Some people die, some people live, and the cat is freaking hysterical. That's as good as I can give.
Oh, wait. Oh, and it's another, you know, it's on the Disney Marvel side, so Taika Waititi is there. You'll recognize Korg's voice, just not Korg.
Yeah.
So speaking of cancellations, they're canceling The Flash. Not the movie, the show.
That's fine. It's been on long enough.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's been on a long time. And the other thing is, I just feel like they're trying, the network and the company are trying to move away from those shows. They had something they could have built to, but they kind of went the opposite direction.
Yeah, they could have built, and I mean, they honestly, starting with The Flash, they could have built towards a really good actual Justice League, but...
I mean, oh my gosh, I totally misread the, you know, Diggle cameo in Supergirl, because in The Flash, or maybe it was Batgirl, I can't remember which one, but in The Flash, like, he just straight up says no to a Green Lantern ring.
Yeah, I do recall that.
I was super, like, yeah, that was basically them saying, no, we're not going in that direction. Fuck off and stop asking. I hated it.
It makes it hard because, like, he is a character that people really do want to see, and I get it. I do too, but yeah, for now, I'd still say no. There's a lot of other characters that could definitely go with that would still be fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I think what they're going to do is they're canceling these shows because they don't want you to have two different places to see the character. You know, I do fully expect that they're going to recast Ezra Miller for whatever they do moving forward. That's just the writing on the wall. But, you know, they're going to have a Flash. It's not good. Fuck, maybe they'll have Barry. Maybe they'll just, you know, off screen say Barry Allen was involved in a crisis and ran himself out like he did in 1985, you know. But and then just bring in a Wally West. And to be honest, some people were like, you know, if you're gonna recast, just recast with Grant Gustin. The thing about it is, look at Grant Gustin in season one and look at him in season nine. At some place in between there, he picked up some fucking weights.
He did. Yeah, I can see that. And
he just doesn't look like a Flash anymore. He looks like he should be he could play one of the superheroes, but it should be a different one.
Yeah, he can. I agree. Like, you can do Wally West. Like, it's not hard, and he can take it. And, like, Grant Gustin can do more of, like, the small cameos. He doesn't have to, like, be the main action star, just mentor, which might work more.
I think they're just trying to remove anything that they're going to be trying to make movies about, you know? So on the CW, you'll still get some DC shows, but it's going to be stuff like Superman and Lois, where it's focused on the kids more. It's more of a Jonathan and, you know, it's more of a Kent Kidd type of show. They're teenage. Yeah.
It'd be great. Children. Nightwing. That would be awesome.
I don't know if they'll do that. That could be something that could be pulled into. Like, I saw that as some, or at least using a Robin as something that they might do in the Pattinson Batmans. You know, because he is at that sort of stage where he could take on Dick Grayson in year three or year four. Because the first movie was supposed to be year two. So.
Yeah, but I mean, DC has many characters that they can make a show out of, like, Hitler, Stargirl, bull crap.
I think if they make any CW shows, it's going to be stuff like Stargirl, where it's based on something from outside of the Justice League roster. You know, you know, they do have, apparently they have plans for the Green Lantern show to move forward, but not, like, the first thing I heard in over 6 months was like, oh yeah, they still are planning on this, just it's on the back burner, but it's still gonna go. So, you know,
I I think they can go with a lot of other different characters that would still work well.
I think they're going to try to find hidden gems, like with Peacemaker. No one expected that to fucking work so well, but John Cena can run it with a gimmick.
I think they can do like Vixen, Zatanna, like those would be good ones.
I did hear they're close to casting a Zatanna, but that could be for movies. Or it could be for Justice Society type stuff. I think that Justice have her own show. Oh, you know who else I could see being pulled in was a live action Static Shock.
That wouldn't be bad. I like it.
You know, I could see them trying that, but I just think that anything on the CW is going to be sort of the lower level stuff, like Stargirl being Justice Society. Like, that's not a comic that is huge. It sells, but it's not huge, you know. So like doing a Justice Society thing, doing the outside of the box things, and then keeping the Justice League roster for the movie side of things. And again, I think they're gonna scrap the Flash, just like they scrapped Batgirl, and then they're gonna move forward with Aquaman because that still worked for them, and they're gonna build from there and figure out some way to get everything in. Maybe they'll have a crisis where a new Flash just runs in and goes, "Hey, everything's fucked on my end. Come on, help me out."
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for the Flash movie because I was excited for it, but it is what it is at this point.
I think that the downward spiral of Ezra Miller is going to have an effect on this shit. So,
yeah,
that's just my opinion.
You liked Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but we've talked about that on every show since it came out.
I was just trying to go with a better character than Ezra Miller.
Well, that's the thing, is like sometimes a character or an actor playing a character gets hate because or heat, I should say, not really hate, but sort of heat, to borrow a term from wrestling, because they actually deserve it. And sometimes they get heat for a bunch of bullshit, like the third sister, Moses Ingram, like Rose Tico, Kelly Marie Tran, like what I found interesting was, you know, when Leslie Grace was cast as Batgirl, there was some backlash because she's not a red-haired white girl. And I found it interesting that there wasn't as much record of as much of a backlash when, like, Jeffrey Wright was cast as Gordon. And not saying that Jeffrey Wright should have gotten the backlash. I'm saying it's weird that, you know, people are willing to pick on, you know, this Latina girl, but they give accolades to the guy. Like, it's just weird societal trends. I told you we were going to do some virtue signaling here. But yeah, it's just you know, weird how you get that sort of toxic fandom that's just so frustrating. Like, and some of it's from, I mean, are we really going to live in a time when we sit there and accuse nations of having troll farms and then don't think that the largest corporations amongst us, who have profit streams that are larger than most nations' gross domestic product, like, we're not going to expect them to have their own troll farms and payola to affect the perception of how we see things? Like, I'm sorry, but in spite of how social media and the internet at large talks about Thor, Love and Thunder, I have not talked to a person who has said, "Oh yeah, it was completely awful." I've heard it from like podcasts I listen to.
I told you it was completely awful just because Natalie Portman is still in it.
Yeah, but you're basing that off of personal bias. I'm talking about these people who nobody sits there and goes, like, if you push them on it, nobody's sitting there going, "Oh yeah, I hated every second of watching that movie." It's a fun movie to watch and they had fun watching it, but, you know, when you're accepting gifts on all ends and the better gifts come from one side, you know, that's just what happens. Like, I can't stand when I'm on Instagram and somebody with a couple thousand followers post something about how, oh yeah, I got some tickets to the premiere, and it's like, oh, they gave you tickets to the premiere, and then I guess they probably paid for your popcorn, and then I bet they gave you a swag bag, and now you're gonna get on and talk shit about their movie? Oh no, you're not gonna do that. But if you get a better swag bag and a better compensating package that isn't actually money, I mean, payola is live and well, and we're going to pretend like that doesn't affect how people report on these movies. We're going to pretend like these companies can't have the resources to troll farm and to troll spam, you know, social media outlets. Like, come on, get a grip. If you enjoy the movie, just enjoy the fucking movie. Now, I get that you don't like Natalie Portman, but you also have the same response to Cyclops.
Well, Cyclops is the worst. He's as bad as Superman. You just want him out. But no, they're bringing him back.
But here's the thing. You'd think that, especially like you, to, you know, talking about, well, by this point, if you haven't seen the movie, you weren't intending to see the movie until it came out on streaming anyway. So anything that is in it is probably spoiled for you. So I'm just going to say this right now. How can you hate that movie so bad when the person you can't stand in the movie, her entire story arc is that she dies?
What?
She's not going to be there moving forward.
Did you see the last two clips? It looks like they were going to figure out a way to bring her right back.
No. Otherwise, why wouldn't... if they're going to figure out a way to bring her back, where was Idris Elba in that movie except for in a cameo in a post-credit scene?
I'm just saying, I know they'd find a way, and I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that's the last one because it should be better moving forward. But I'm not getting my hope up.
So... if they were to plan on doing there is a backdoor open, but it requires them to plan on doing a War of the Realms. Like, she's not coming back for nothing. It was big news that she came back for this. She publicly walked away and distanced herself from the character. You know, she didn't want to be Jane Foster. So
I didn't want to be Jane Foster.
Well, then you should be happy they didn't run with what happened in the comic books, because you know what happened in the comic books is exactly what happened in that movie, except Odin comes back and helps Thor channel the power of the Storm of Storms through the reconstituted Mjolnir to give her godly Odin Force backed EK, what's it called? Defibrillation. And so, like, right in that part where she's in Valhalla with
Heimdall,
she gets pulled back and she lives.
I really hope they don't. I can see them do it anyway, but I'm keeping it if they don't.
What I'm happy about is that stupid misogynistic meme where it was like all the original Avengers and then like mostly female cast. With, you know, with the exception of Anthony Mackie as Captain America replacing the original Avengers, like, oh, is this the direction you want? With Jane Foster replacing Thor. And the thing was, if you follow shit closely and read the signs, like, that was not the direction they were going anyway. But with her having this story arc, that meme is complete bullshit now. And I'm so happy about it, because fuck that meme. It's a bunch of people trying to predict who apparently have no prediction skills, because the female Hawkeye is going to go into a Young Avengers thing. They've clearly been bringing them in. That's why Riri Williams is going to be in, and that's why Shuri's going to be Black Panther, and that's why Riri Williams is going to be Ironheart, and that's why they brought in Ms. Marvel. They're building a Young Avengers champion sort of mixed team, a la Marvel Rising, the cartoon that's on Disney Plus. If you haven't seen it, check it out, because that's the plan, live action for that side of things. You know, so there's Hawkeye, there's female Hawkeye. They are planning on changing the Avengers, but that's because the Avengers, you know, the old Avengers, their contracts expired and they wanted to make something new.
They need to, and I liked how they built it. But yeah, they definitely need to make it fresh, and that's understandable.
I like how they're building to it. And that's the thing is, you hear all this stuff where people compare stuff to Endgame, and it's like, stop it. You know, they have to break things down to build them back up, and I like what they're doing. I think they have a very ambitious and interesting plan, and people just need to calm down and stop letting themselves be influenced by things that, like, there are certain complaints that when it's reiterated and reiterated, you start to realize, oh, it's complete bullshit. Like when people talk, you know, when people complain about how gore was changed, and it's like, if you think that they could have kept the comic book gore, then you're just fooling yourself. But anyway, I am excited for the direction they're taking all this stuff. They're building a Dark Avengers. That's where the new Black Widow is going to go. So she's not going to be that that version. That's going to be Bucky, you know, and he's already been there. And then you got Anthony Mackie as Captain America on the Avengers. You got She-Hulk coming in, and that's going to if people would stop complaining so much, I think that could be a really interesting show, just like how Ms. Marvel was a fascinating show and it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm hoping people are more open towards She-Hulk. Just watch it, see it, hope to appreciate it.
I just wanted to be open. Yeah, I just wanted to be open to shit in general, because the thing is you're not like, when people are stepping up to complain first and to complain loudest, they're forgetting that you're not watching the next generation of Godfather and Citizen Kane and like that kind of highbrow, high quality movie. That's not what we're getting. They are giving us the popcorn entertainment that we have been demanding for years. This is fast food cinema, people. You're not supposed to be expecting the best thing ever. You're supposed to be expecting something you can sit for 2 hours and enjoy. So just enjoy. Yes, it's got CGI. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's like, enjoy it for what it is. Like, they are still fairly good work. You wouldn't really get that a few years ago. You'd gotten a lot more cheesy, dumber shit. Which is what almost killed Batman, because it was cheesy and dumb. Trying to make it like really cartoonish.
The thing is, we can recognize when the worst when the thing that's really bad does come out. Like, I'll always remember why I have never watched Joss Whedon's Justice League again. Because Joss Whedon, for all of his toxicity behind the scenes, he made some really cool Avengers movies. I really liked Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. I was not so thrilled with Avengers 3, Justice League. So that's why I didn't like that one. That's why I got tired. That's why I won't watch it again. That's why I wanted the Zack Snyder stuff, because I didn't want my Justice League to be the same as my Avengers, which is exactly what you got in the Joss Whedon re-edited Justice League. It was Avengers with Justice League characters.
I didn't mind it.
I couldn't stand it. If I wanted Batman to be Iron Man, I'd just watch Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, if I wanted Superman to be Thor, I'd just watch Thor. I'm not sitting there expecting my Justice League. Like, I was okay with it having a darker tone. I was more annoyed when people would be like, well, the Marvel movies are, like, really good and the DC movies are, like, really bad. Nah, they're all made by professionals. They're all made with a similar budget. Well, the CGI, no. It's CGI professionals. You can dislike something without parroting a common phrase, you know. And I understand, like, people have their own opinions. I'm not trying to shit on people having opinions, but when the opinion matches a social media tide, it kind of gets lost in the whole sense of you're just parroting what you heard.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to be honest, they're all not that great. I love all of them, and I have ADHD. So I don't sit well for long, good movies. If I can sit well for a DC movie and a Marvel movie, maybe they're not that great. Maybe they're exactly what the kind of movie I like, and I know my taste. My favorite movie is basketball. I'm not highbrow at all.
I've heard of that movie and never bothered trying to watch it.
It is lowbrow humor, but I've always enjoyed deep symbolism, and so that is a movie where they lampoon it's the guys who made South Park literally right before the first season of South Park was coming out, and it's a parody on the consumerism of sports in the 90s and the commercialization of those sports and like why people were playing the sports. And it's just, I love it. It's a great send up. And there's just so many of the psych outs that I'll always have in my head. Steve Perry.
For me, if it's like really old school movie, I grew up watching over and over TMNT 1 and TMNT 2. I realize more now the difference between the two tones and why they made it, but I just thought they were well done movies that brought out one of my favorite cartoon characters of all.
I just really enjoyed Kevin Nash's Shredder or Super Shredder.
I didn't realize
that. Vanilla Ice
10 years ago.
And Vanilla Ice singing Go Ninja Go as Kevin Nash fought the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, it took me until like 10 years ago. I'm like, oh, holy shit, I've been watching Vanilla Ice the whole time on this movie.
Yeah, Diesel got to be in a movie.
Yeah.
Then he went to WCW and booked some of the shittiest angles ever.
He did. And then he was also in Johnny Wick for like, what, 2 seconds scene?
Oh, he was the Russian in the Thomas Jane movie, The Punisher.
Yeah, he was too. Now in that one, he at least had like 5 minutes of screen time. But it was good.
That was one that was notable because you know why Rebecca Romijn was in that movie? Because she signed a multi-picture deal with the production company making that side of comic book movies, and they were like, I'm not sure we have that many instances of having Mystique be shown in that time, so we need to put you in some other stuff.
I mean, it was good. That was a good character for her still, but yeah, people are going to remember her from Mystique for sure.
Yeah. Plus, I always liked John Panette. He was a funny guy who could make a lot of jokes about food. And then the food got him.
Ah, what a shame.
Yep. And on that happy note, this is a, you know, DPIY is a Cable and Deadpool based podcast most of the time that we make in our off hours completely free and all volunteer. Someday we would love to get the opportunity to sell you shit that you didn't know that you didn't want anyway. But until then, that only comes by having a larger listener base and spreading the word. So if you get the chance, whisper the name of the podcast in the ear of somebody you are upset with and really give them the message that you wanted to waste their time just a little bit longer so we can try to sell stuff someday. But unfortunately, we don't get pushed because we don't post regularly. So that's our own fault. We'll figure that out someday.
Yeah, we're working on that. We'll definitely have it by the end of the year. Definitely.
Sure. That's the ticket. People who watched SNL in the 80s would understand.
Yeah. We can do it for sure.
We'll keep plugging along. Eventually people might enjoy the stuff we have to say.
Yep. Good evening, and we will have an episode pretty soon again.
All right. Good night.